G&D, welcoming you back on the fan as we kick off our second hour of 4+ today. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad, can guide you and your family in the right direction, help you draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you to get a discount, kmlawyers.com. Trade deadline is 3 hours away. Nothing brewing right now on the news front with the Nationals. We're awaiting word on where they send Dylan Flora, which is expected today, and whether or not they trade Kyle Finnegan. The last we heard was that they are asking for the moon for Kyle Finnegan via MLB.com. Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline and MLB Media will be stopping by in a half hour to discuss the return for Lane Thomas. So far, Thomas, Jesse Winker, and Hunter Harvey have all been moved by Washington for a bevy of prospects, adding to a much improved system. All of our Nats news on the show today comes your way, and will continue to via our friends at T-Mobile. Let's bring Darris into the mix here to go around the National Football League. Headlines aplenty out of training camp. We want to play a little fact or fiction. We call it In or Out on Grant and Danny.
Gentlemen, the Packers paid Jordan Love a big sum of money last week. In or out, the Packers did the right thing by paying Jordan Love $55 million per year after just a half a season of elite quarterback play.
In, but man, it's one of those things where I wish I wouldn't have to deal with that. But there's a lot of those things in life, right? I mean, as an adult, like, I can't believe I have to pay a tax on this, or I can't believe that this costs this much. It's just being a grown-up, dude. If you want to be in the NFL and you have someone that demonstrated competence, and Jordan Love the second half of the year was outstanding, you already said it. You just have to. Someone's going to break it. Someone's going to not do it. It wasn't going to be Green Bay, especially after they, you know, let multiple Hall of Famers at the quarterback spot go to ultimately turn the keys over to this guy. They were always going to pay him.
There are times where I begrudgingly pay people. Tua Tagovailoa comes to mind. This is not one of those times. I'm not nearly as bothered by paying him if I'm Green Bay as it sounds like you would have been. 32 touchdowns and 11 picks in his first season as a starter is a really good launching point. They don't have the problem, by the way, that a lot of other teams are going to have when they pay a quarterback, because they are a draft and develop organization, not a free agency organization. They don't really spend big on guys coming in from outside, and they also have a very, very young wide receiver core that's all on rookie deals that he will be able to grow up with. Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, all of those guys are kids, and they're going to be under contract on the cheap for the next three or so seasons. So I think they built this thing really well. They're in a great spot. You've got a guy who's a little bit less of a headache than Aaron Rodgers, and maybe he won't be as good as prime Rodgers. Quite sure that's the case, but he's plenty good enough, and you didn't wait. They could have waited another season and cost themselves more money, and 55 would have become 60-plus or 65, but they didn't. So, yeah, no-brainer for me. Easy decision. Jordan Love could be one of the next big things at quarterback.
Let's stick with the quarterback route. America's quarterback, C.J. Stroud. He will surpass his rookie passing year totals of 4,100 yards and 25 touchdowns in his second year leading the Texans to prove that his rookie season wasn't a fluke. In or out?
I am in on this. I think they're a better team than they were last year. I have not really dove too deep into their schedule in terms of the defenses they play, I will say, but I think getting Tank Dell back healthy, acquiring Stephon Diggs via trade, having Nico Collins another year into Bobby Slowick's offense, who really broke out and became a star at wide receiver for them last year, with the depth that they have and veterans Noah Brown, Robert Woods, former second-round pick John Mechie, he's got weapons galore. They'll be able to run the ball every bit as well or better than they did last year. They went and got Joe Mixon with Damian Pierce. I think their O-line is very solid. Laremy Tunsil, the headliner at left tackle. They drafted a second-round tackle to help with some depth as well that could play some on the right side. C.J. Stroud was really good, and I'd say right away showed flashes of being really good, but did a lot of caretaking last year. Mm-hmm. If they take the reins off him a little bit, maybe 4,100 becomes 4,400. You know, maybe five interceptions goes up to 8 or 9, but with that, you are now throwing 30 touchdowns instead of 23 touchdowns. So I'll go over both his yards and his touchdown totals from last season. They also, things came semi-easily in terms of wins for them. They ended up being a 9-6 team in his 15 starts. Maybe with the division getting a little better around them, they've got to throw it more. Maybe they're not salting away some of those same leads, and they're really scratching and clawing to get back to 10 wins and win the division again. So for all those reasons, I'll say over.
So I think he goes over these totals, but I can already see the, what's wrong with the Houston Texans? With apologies to Darius, Houston Texans, Darius. We're crowning them prematurely. They had a really nice stretch. They won a terrible division. They didn't have to deal with what they're going to have to deal with this year, a much more difficult schedule. They're better on paper, but teams that, you know, jump up all of a sudden with no precedent oftentimes fall back to the pack the next year. I think that's what's going to happen in Houston. They got a great foundation. I like Stroud a lot. So he's going to throw for more touchdowns. He'll be more prolific, throw for more yards, but the turnovers are going up. He got away with a lot of stuff last year that, again, just bad luck happens. A tip pass here or there, or goes through a receiver's hands. You're not going to end up with five picks. He's going to throw it more, so he'll go over those numbers. But we're going to be reading about what's wrong with the Texans a couple months into the season. And they close, by the way, with a murderer's row of the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Ravens there in December before a final division game against the Titans.
The last time the Falcons won the NFC South was in 2016 when they lost in the Super Bowl, of course, under Dan Quinn. Since then, the Saints have won four division titles in a row, followed by the Bucks winning three division titles in a row. In or out on the Kirk Cousins Atlanta Falcons winning the NFC South in 2024?
I'm in, because technically someone has to win that division. I've looked it up, and they have a rule in the NFL that somebody wins the division every year. That's a gross one. I hate the NFC South. I'm so annoyed by it. I think Tampa's the incumbent at 9-8 under Todd Bowles. They got good pieces, but come on, their ceiling is probably about 8 or 9, maybe 10 wins if things break right. I think Atlanta's in a similar bucket. It's, you know, it's a missed field goal here or a fumble there or a drop pass somewhere else. They're right there in the mix with Tampa, I think a little bit better than New Orleans. So I like Kirk O'Chains and the Falcons to win that division. It's going to be two teams at 9-8, and that might be one of them.
I'm out on that. I do think Cousins will play very well, as he typically does, and I think he'll put up numbers. I'm not as sold on the weapons they have as everybody else. People talk about Drake London and Kyle Pitts like he just went to Atlanta with one of the best receivers and best tight ends in football. Drake London's pretty good. I don't think he's great by any means. I don't think he's an all-pro or even a Pro Bowl type player. Maybe Cousins will help elevate him some. And Kyle Pitts has been a pretty big disappointment. Now, he too should get better with Cousins' arrival, but we haven't seen, like, to me, we talk more about how good Kyle Pitts is than really Kyle Pitts being really good. And I still think there's a lot of that. The guy that I am very excited about in that offense is Bijan Robinson. I like the coordinator that they hired, who's a McVay disciple, and Zach Robinson, who's got some time on his resume at PFF and kind of knows the way the game works at this point. I think they'll throw on early downs and do some smart things. Him and Cousins could make some good music. I'm somewhat nervous, though. Cousins is coming off an Achilles in his mid-30s. Like, he has never had injury problems before, but how's that going to hold up? Is there any issues there? So there's enough doubt for me that with Tampa Bay returning Baker Mayfield, was not on Cousins' level, but had a decent enough year last year, bringing back Mike Evans to go with Godwin and Trey Palmer and drafting Jalen McMillan in the third round. I love the center that they just drafted out of Duke, Graham Barton, who's going to start. I actually could see the Bucs winning the division. I think they're both probably 10-ish win teams. I think Tampa Bay's got a better defense than Atlanta. In fact, I'm quite sure they do. Atlanta's pass rushing situation is brutal. They've been one of the worst pass rushing teams off the edge in ball the last few years, and I think the best player from outside the org they brought in is a fourth-round pick this year to help fix that. So I'm just not sold on Atlanta's pass rush. I'll say the Bucs win the thing narrowly this year.
Speaking of Kirk Cousins, his former wide receiver, his former favorite target, Justin Jefferson, has a new contract, and will he find a way to lead the NFL in receiving yards again despite a questionable quarterback situation, in or out on that?
I'll say yes, actually. I think Jets' Justin Jefferson has averaged in his career over 100 yards per start, basically, if you look at the numbers, which is absolutely insane. I think that whether it's Darnold or eventually McCarthy, Kevin O'Connell will prove, as he did with Nick Mullins and with Josh Dobbs last year, that the offense goes through Jefferson. They may not be nearly as good offensively in terms of where they rank in yards per play or as far as scoring goes, And as a team, they may pay for it some, but they will go down with Jefferson being involved. There's going to be a lot of 15 target, 10 catch, you know, 120 yard days for him this season. So let's say he plays in 17 and he goes for about 1,700 yards and leads the NFL. Remember, if they are worse this year, they'll also be throwing it more, perhaps. And that means more opportunities for him.
Out. He missed a bunch of time last year, and the offense is worse. There are just too many bodies, too many Tyreek Hills, too many Jamar Chases, too many guys that could lead the league in receiving that aren't him. He's great. This isn't about Justin Jefferson being great. It's about taking the field and the percentages over one individual player with a worse situation.
How much receiver have you watched on Netflix?
Through a couple episodes.
So he is one of the guys chronicled, and I'd advise anybody who enjoys sports documentaries and behind the scenes access series to check it out. It's a lot of fun. He is so likable. He's always kind of been had a special place for me. I love that guy. He did the gritty. He won me over the first time. I think he's hilarious. But he's just a kid. You know, he really
who happens to have an unbelievable amount of talent.
Oh, yeah. So much talent. And he's so well paid now, and it's all deserved. But he's obsessed with candy. Like at his house, he just has drawers full of candy everywhere. One of the things I saw that I love is he's still in the same townhouse after making his whatever contract, $30 million a year now, and he plans on staying in the townhouse. And someone asked him why, and he's like, I'm single. I don't have a family. Why do I need more house? I don't need a bunch of rooms I'm not going to be in. And he talks about where he came from and what the house was like. Mm-hmm. And I've always liked him. I think he's just got a good head on his shoulders, and he is a baller.
It's pretty good.
It's been 19 years since a team in the NFC East has repeated as division champion. In or out on the Cowboys potentially breaking that NFC's drought?
Out. Eagles are winning this division. I think everyone overestimated their demise last year. They've cleaned house a little bit. They've been able to shake some bad loose. They had to kind of go through this transition on the fly where they got rid of some of the great players that led them to lead the universe in sacks two seasons ago. They will be better on that side of the football. And people have kind of written the epitaph prematurely of Jalen Hurts and that Eagles offense. And I don't really buy the Cowboys this year. I think they're still a 10-11 win team, but I think Philadelphia wins 11-12 games in that region. They'll have three or four wins booked against both Washington and the Giants. I like Philly to win that division.
I am also out on the Cowboys repeating and in on the Eagles winning the division. However, I will quickly drive down devil's advocate lane for a moment and just say sometimes when your three stars all want contracts and there seems like there is this animus and guys not being paid, sometimes that does lead to desperation in performance, right? Like Dak Prescott has to go out and ball because he wants $60 million from somebody. Micah Parsons has a chance to be the highest paid defensive player in league history if he could go win the DPOY award and put up 17 and a half sacks. Like that can actually breed some urgency from your best players. That having been said, I'm going to separate that now and say I do think the Eagles are better. The Cowboys just had a bad offseason. And it's not even like they made as many bad decisions, although there were a couple. I don't understand what they're doing at running back. Bringing back Ezekiel Elliott, not really having a true starting tailback. Very, very odd. But they just didn't do anything. They didn't have the money to. They were handcuffed. They aren't as good as they were on paper, and it's not close. And I'm talking about from a playing standpoint where guys like Tyler Biadasz is here and Dorrance Armstrong is here and other starters are in other places. But how about on the coaching staff? Dan Quinn might have been the best coach in that building, was the most popular guy, it seemed like, certainly with from the media standpoint and maybe from players in the building. He's here now. The plan if he left was that they'd elevate Joe Witt. He's also here now. I think they are right for a step back, and Philly quietly now with two new coordinators is laying in the weeds to win the division.
The Raiders went viral last week on social media for having a Kermit the Frog puppet dressed up as Patrick Mahomes while at training camp. Meanwhile, Mahomes has a 10-2 record versus the Raiders all time with a 30-4 touchdown interception ratio.
That's crazy, those numbers.
It's insane numbers. But one of those two losses did come last year on Christmas against the Raiders in Arrowhead.
Yeah, the Raiders destroyed them in that game.
Yeah, and that was well after Antonio Pierce took over as head coach. In or out on the Raiders being a thorn in Mahomes' side in 2024?
The most out. Wherever out is outer than out. Here's what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't poke Patrick Mahomes. Didn't you guys watch Quarterback on Netflix, Raiders? Didn't you do that or did you not? He has a Michael Jordan gear, that whole I'm going to take that personally bit. Mm-hmm. That's how he lives. You guys should know because it's him and Max Crosby normally, where Crosby like walks by him and bumps him, and he's like, that's not cool, dog. Now I'm going to hang 50. Like, he is just, what are we doing here?
Yeah, man? That's a mistake.
Also, do you know who did this? It was a 7th-round defensive back out of Air Force named Trey Taylor. It wasn't like some team-orchestrated thing. A fan had a puppet that he brought. He hands it to the kid from Air Force. He plays with it for a second. The guy takes a video and posts it. So it's probably not as nefarious as everyone wants it to be, like they're throwing darts at it in the locker room or anything. It's pretty much a nothing burger. But the video's out there now, and it doesn't even matter because Patrick Mahomes is going to make it very personal. They already asked him about it. He's like, we're going to handle that when we handle that. I mean, he wakes up every morning and stares at his phone for 5 minutes at a picture of Trey Taylor, who won't make the team from Air Force, with a, you know, a pinata or a puppet or whatever the hell it was of Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, I am out on the Raiders being anything, but certainly a thorn in the side of Patrick Mahomes.
From the Kermit the Frog perspective, that is a mistake. From the Pat Mahomes perspective, that's hard to go between the two voices there. I mean, obviously, you know, like obviously the Raiders, they're hot trash. It's like trash that's been left outside in the sun for too long, and then like a couple skunks have come by. I own them. I'm actually the owner. Tom Brady's trying to buy them. He has to buy them from me. So I just want to say, all due respect, y'all suck, and y'all are not a thorn in my side. Thank y'all.
We appreciate you joining the show, Patrick.
That's very nice of you. Yeah, short notice.
That's awesome.
I wish we would have known he was going to join, so we could have put the word out on the Odyssey app.
I obviously can't promote it because it's not real.
We'll let Lou DiPietro know. Aaron Rodgers will make it through a season healthy and will play at his normal top 10 quarterback level in his first full year with the Jets. In
on this.
Really?
This is people have kind of looked past it. People just sort of counted him out. I know he lasted all of, two plays, three plays, whatever it was last year. We've sort of forgotten that he had nothing in Green Bay towards the end. He's a year removed, now 2 years removed, from being back-to-back MVP award winner. He is going to deal in New York this year. I think he's having an outstanding season.
2021 was a long time ago.
It's a few years now.
3 years. Feels like a long time ago, and it's an Achilles ago, and a lot of ayahuasca ago.
So much ayahuasca.
Like 9 relationships, I think, ago, and a lot of weird comments ago. And it doesn't sound like it, but I actually love Aaron Rodgers as a player. I mean, as a guy, he's a lot to deal with. But as a player, he's my number 2 quarterback of my lifetime. I'm a big Aaron Rodgers guy. Out on this? No. How could he possibly, I guess, would be my rebuttal. He's going to be 41. Mm-hmm. He didn't play really at all last season. He's been recovering since, and it's the Jets. You know, if it was an organization where things go well, or you know, they don't seem to be cursed with like one terrible injury here or bad break there, maybe. But he's already yelling at guys because they had a bad practice yesterday was the big story. I don't know that I trust the coaching staff and his buddy Nathaniel.
To be able to handle it?
That's the whole thing. I don't know how good the staff is. I will say top 10 and you know Super Bowl caliber team and him staying healthy at 41. There's just too much. So I'll say no, I'm out on that.
All right, last one here. ESPN's Bill Barnwell predicts that Brock Purdy will warrant a 5-year extension worth up to $325 million, valued at $65 million per year, in or out on Brock Purdy setting the new standard for quarterback contracts, and will the internet break that day?
Yes, it will, and yes, it will happen. Would I pay him that? No, not if I'm Kyle Shanahan, because I could do what I do with Brock Purdy with somebody else. I've already got Matt Ryan to a Super Bowl. I got Jimmy Garoppolo to a Super Bowl somehow, which is an incredible accomplishment. Put me in the Hall of Fame for that. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's going to happen. Absolutely. He is going to get paid after Dak and after the next wave. He's kind of the first of the wave after that. So the new market will be 60 and he'll come along and it'll be 62 or whatever. So I'll take the under maybe on 65, but it's going to start with a 6. People are going to be blown away. He's going to have played in another NFC title game. He's going to have crazy numbers, top 5 in EPA at the position and all these other metrics. Yeah, it's going to happen. Prepare yourselves. And that day, you might as well stay off the internet, for sure.
Yeah, if the in or out is he going to be paid an astronomical amount of money, I'm in on that. I don't know if it's 65. It could be 64.2 or 63.8. Point is, he's going to break the bank.
It'll be above 50-something.
Yeah, it's going to be north of the 55 APY that Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, and company have signed for. He's going to get an astounding amount of money. And the amount of like dunking the he's just a system QB guys are gonna try to do on the rest of us, that's a great day just to not to log on. Just don't log on.
Fun little in and out with Darris Dameron at the controls on Grant and Danny. Next, a prospects guru, my buddy Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline, stops by with us to discuss the haul the Nats got back for Lane Thomas, the three trades they've already made, and what else they could get done ahead of the deadline 2.5 hours away. You are listening to The Fan. Baseball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We're G&D. You are locked into The Fan. Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline, one of my favorite prospects and player development minor league experts. I normally talk to him on MLB Network Radio on Sundays, but occasionally the farm system for the Nats becomes a big enough deal to get to do it daily here on The Fan. And right now is one of those times. Is Lane Thomas on the move yesterday for a package of three players? The Nats could be trading Kyle Finnegan today. So happy to go to the BetQL guest hotlines and welcome Jim Callis onto the show. So, Jim, why don't we just start with your reaction, national perspective, Lane Thomas to Cleveland for the three players Washington got back.
Yeah, I like that trade for the Nationals. I mean, it's always easy to fall in love with prospects and dream about what they could be, but those were guys I pretty much liked in the liked in the draft. I mean, Alex Clemmie, second round pick last year, big time stuff. It's still stuff over polish. It's 92, 96 up to 99 with a fastball. High spin rates. He had one of the best curveballs in last year's draft. That's a plus pitch. There's some field of spin, a hard slider. The changeup, the control, the polish, that stuff's kind of a work in progress. Rafael Ramirez Jr. is interesting. The son of the former All-Star shortstop with the same name. He's got a chance to be, maybe if everything works out, average across the board, maybe a little bit better arm strength than that. Kind of a rough year in A-ball, but, he was an interesting guy. And why for the life of me is the third name escaping me, Grant? Who's the third name?
Jose Tena.
Jose Tena, exactly. And Jose Tena is a guy who graduated, who was no longer a prospect per se because he spent too much time in the big leagues. But he's a contact-hitting, offensive-minded middle infielder. He won, if I remember correctly, the Arizona Fall League batting title a couple years ago. Has not gotten a lot of chance to play in the big leagues. He spent about 50 days in the big leagues with the Guardians, but didn't even have 50 at-bats. But you're looking at, he's got more offensive upside than I think Ramirez does. He might be the type of guy who could hit 270 with 15 home runs and play a number of positions. So I like that trade for Lane Thomas. I thought that was a lot to get for Lane Thomas. No disrespect to Lane Thomas, and also reminding myself that prospects don't always turn out like you hope, but I thought that was a pretty good package.
Well, what we like to do here, Jim, is think back to how we got Lane Thomas, because that still matters to me, that you got multiple years of profit for John Lester, for goodness sakes, a guy that they probably could have just DFA'd, but the Cardinals gave up Lane Thomas, who blossomed at a career year here last year, not as good this year, obviously, still some quality things on the base pass and otherwise, especially against lefties if you want to platoon him, but what an ultimate profit just to be able to get a couple of years of their team MVP, a dubious honor, and now a couple of prospects in return, ultimately for John Lester. To me, that's the win of all wins.
No, that's a great win, and especially if you look at it that way. And that's why, honestly, when you're not winning, you should be making trades like that because you never know. I mean, when they traded John Lester, like you said, they could have DFA'd him. John Lester was certainly not going to be part of the next Nationals team that was going to the playoffs, and it made a lot of sense. And that's why, even if some of these trades seem kind of inconsequential at the time, you ought to make them. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about Jesse Winker for Tyler Stewart. And, you should make that trade every time and bring in as much young talent and sort through it. I mean, look how good DJ Hurz has looked at times this year. And, Condalario wasn't coming back to Washington. That was a really nice trade, too.
So you mentioned the Winker deal. The difference between Lane Thomas, who got a lot more back in terms of quantity and maybe quality, is obviously that he is controllable through next year for the Guardians. Winker was a rental. How did you feel about Tyler Stewart, the righty from the Mets organization, as the return there one for one?
Yeah, I mean, he's interesting. He's a huge guy, 6'9", 250, fastball slider guy, relies heavily on the slider. He's, you know, they've used him as a starter in the Mets system. He's thrown a lot of strikes. You know, I'm trying to disabuse myself of the notion that you need three pitches to be a starter, because I think we thought that 10, 15 years ago, but now, you know, I think the attitude is throw your best pitches more often. His changeup isn't great. I mean, it's fastball, slider. I still think he might be a reliever in the long run, but he does throw a lot of strikes. Interesting. And again, you know, bring in another guy, you know, an inventory type guy, and see what you can do with him.
It also seems like, Jim, in the last year, you and I have talked a little bit about this elsewhere, but the Nats have been doing a much better job developing arms recently than they were before. And I don't just mean Irvin at the big league level, Parker at the big league level, what have you, but in their system, you look at Sakura looks like the real deal. Susan is breaking out as we speak. Brad Lord's having a huge season. We could go on and on with Andre Lara and some of the other arms that they have, and all of a sudden there's a bevy of them. They haven't done nearly as good a job, I don't think, even recently at developing the bats necessarily. But is there something to be said for, you know, the organizational shift and the involvement of Doolittle and some of the things that they're doing, not just at the major league level, but bringing in an arm like him at a time where they're getting a lot of the pitcher things right?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you feel better about your ability to develop him just with the recent success you've had. And, I mean, pitching is so difficult anyway that I always subscribe to you ought to just bring in as many arms as possible because, you know, just because of the attrition, you're never going to have enough. But, yeah, you do feel better. You've seen guys like Cezanne and Sakura who have great arms but were kind of raw, taking steps forward. And that makes you feel good about Alex Clemmy, who kind of fits that same mold where it's definitely stuff over polish. You know, young guy with the stuff is definitely well ahead of the polish, and you feel good about what they can do with him too.
Jim Callison will be Pipeline with us here on G&D. All right, so maybe trades that haven't been made yet. There's flirtation for Dylan Floro. Maybe we heard rumors that they're asking for the moon for Kyle Finnegan, but what might those guys be able to fetch?
Yeah, you know, I'll admit, I have not been paying attention too much to potential returns because I'm working the prospect end of things, and I have 10 teams I'm trying to stay on top of, and I've been filling top 30 holes as guys have been traded. But, I mean, it seems like a seller's market. You know, like, I couldn't tell you exactly who I think you're going to get, but like every time these trades are made, or a lot of the trades have been made in the last day or two, I thought, wow, that's a pretty nice return for guys. I mean, go back to what they got for Hunter Harvey. I thought getting Caden Wallace, who I thought was one of the Royals' better hitting prospects, and I like Caden Wallace, and a supplemental first-round pick that they turned into Caleb Lomavita. I mean, I know Hunter Harvey's pitching well, but I mean, that's a really nice return for Hunter Harvey. So I would think, if we see Kyle Finnegan traded or they make other moves, I mean, it's been a seller's market. We're probably going to be, I think, pleasantly surprised by what they get in return.
It's been as much a seller's market as I can remember in a long, long time because there was a shift. I can't trace it back to a specific date, but certainly the last several years where teams just stopped giving up their top prospects, really. And I wonder what has changed this year. Is it that more teams are in the mix? Or maybe the gap between AAA and the big leagues widenings where so many of the great prospects coming up are struggling more right away? Like, why are we seeing this market play out like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of things. I think, one, the expanded playoffs. I mean, right now I'm trying to do this quick count in my head. We have 17 teams that are within two and a half games of a playoff spot. Wow. You know, right now. So that's more than half the league. So you just don't have, because there's more playoff spots open, you don't have as many teams just saying, oh, we have no shot, we're out. And I don't think we've seen too many top prospects taken. I think the highest ranked prospect was probably Dylan Lesko, who the Padres gave up, and he's kind of gone backwards this year. We haven't seen like top 100, you know, slam dunk, you know, guys getting traded like that. But I do think teams, for whatever reason, have been more willing to part with maybe the next tier and be being pretty liberal in you know, the quantity and quality of those guys that they'll part with. I'll be curious to see if we, like, it, you know, are we going to have a super blockbuster today where we see some top 100 prospects traded? I don't know.
That's a really good way to put it. Like, the Orioles don't seem willing to trade Jackson Holiday or Sammy Bisaccia, but they'll give you Connor Norby, right?
And exactly.
I kind of think the same way about the Clemmy deal, in a sense, with the Guardians, where just to drill down on him before we let you go, I don't know if you agree with this or disagree. I like him more in terms of upside than anybody else the Nats have gotten in these returns, maybe more than Wallace. I don't know if you guys will rank him ahead or behind Caden Wallace when you do it. But
we had him ahead. Sam Dykstra put him one spot ahead. Like we have no rest, so we haven't totally revamped our list. But with our current list, as soon as the guy's acquired, we jam him on the list somewhere. So he's ahead of Caden Wall. And I do agree with you, Grant. The upside, I mean, this guy's upside was as much as almost any high school pitcher in last year's draft. I mean, he's 6'6". He already touches 99 miles an hour, like I said, with high spin rates. So there's really good carry. He's got this power curve with a ton of depth that was one of the best curves in the draft. It's just, you know, I mean, he's, you know, the Guardians like to draft young, you know, super young players. He hadn't even turned 18. He was not quite 18 when they drafted him last year, so he still just turned 19 not even 2 weeks ago. There's a ton of room for time and for him to develop, but a ton of upside there. And I am with you. I think he's... You know, I was going to say, he might be the best pitching prospect in the organization. I don't know how to treat Cade Cavalli, so who's just now kind of sort of come back. But, I mean, he's up there. His upside is as good as anybody in the organization in terms of pitchers.
Before we let you go, we'd be remiss if we had Jim Callis on the show. We didn't ask him about Dylan Cruz and the top prospect still in the minor leagues. He'll be in the majors by the end of the year. What have you made of his season? He's not dominated, really, since the first few weeks in the minors, like people may have thought, but he's been very solid and seems to hold his own at every level. What do you make of the year he's putting together now at Rochester?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, I mean, he started the year in Double A. He spent a month in Triple A, and I know he doesn't have huge numbers, but he's hitting 260. You know, he's got, you know, 9 homers. I mean, it's not an unbelievable year, but he's kind of on pace over a full, you know, if you did it over a full major league season, he'd hit around 260 with 20 homers. And that's going from college baseball last year to Double A and Triple A this year. I just think with Paul Skeens and Wyatt Langford to some extent, made it almost look too easy that we look at Dylan Cruz, or, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but some fans are like, oh man, Dylan Cruz hitting 260, like what's going on? Like jump into Double A, and I know he played a little bit in the minors last year, but basically jump into Double A to start your first full season and then go into Triple A after a couple months. We should not underrate how difficult that is. I think he's more than held his own, and I think, you know, I mean, he's still just 22 years old. You know, once he catches his breath, I'll bet he's even better next year. And I still think he's one of the very best prospects in the minor leagues. You know, one of the best pure hitters in the minor leagues. I think it's at least 20 homer power, and he could probably play center field, although, you know, where everybody plays in the outfield, you know, James Wood being in Washington right now, we'll have to see. But I'm still as high on Dylan Cruz as I've ever been. I just think Paul Skeens and Wyatt Langford maybe make that year look a little worse than it really is.
Jim, appreciate you as always, man. Great info.
Yeah, great talking to you guys. We'll see if there's more trades coming down the stretch.
Might just be Mike Rizzo at the deadline, one of his favorite days of the
year. Right.
Jim Callis, MLB Pipeline. Go check out his work there. He does an outstanding job. Let's get you a double play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Back to football and our Beltway Blitz. Top of the hour on The Fan. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori & Murad can guide you and your family in the right direction, help you draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com, and be sure to tell them that G&D sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We've got a couple of screens going watching the Olympics today. Simone Biles was in action. Team USA gymnastics gunning for gold. I'm sure that'll be televised in primetime tonight.
It will. So the result, it's, you know, the sacrifice of having it 6 hours ahead. The results are in, but there'll still be some good television later tonight. So we're not going to spoil it for you just in case.
You should watch it.
Yeah, I would watch it later on.
Team USA?
Yeah.
Simone Biles? Big event. People have been looking forward to it. I also don't know what to do with my hands there because I'm not supposed to say it, but it's already been nationally televised and everyone and their brother has been tweeting about it.
Everyone's tweeted about it. Everyone's reported on it. The articles are around.
Still personal policy, I guess, for me. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to tell you who shows up in a movie, right?
Right. I'm like, not, no one would do that.
Who would just blurt out loud what cameo came in a movie that you weren't expecting.
That was seismic and massive for dorks that care about that sort of thing.
Darius wouldn't do it.
Nope.
I wouldn't do it.
No, I wouldn't
you
do it.
You wouldn't do it. Anybody
Is there else anyone else
in this?
Just looking around.
Someone that often explains things.
I got nothing.
Claire, you didn't feel terrible. I'll give you that. You felt very bad after accidentally ruining a big reveal for Danny.
So he didn't get it at first, and then you had to take him out of the room and explain it.
I explained him what he had done.
I'm so sorry.
It was like explaining to Scotty Smalls that he just hit Babe Ruth's sign ball over the wall. He's like, wait, you mean he's all the same guy? Like, that was what happened. Yep. Like, Baby Ruthie. And
yeah.
I'm like, no, you don't understand.
You don't understand.
No, I don't understand. And it's, I genuinely feel bad about that. Like, I apologize to Danny
multiful
times.
Yeah.
I'm still so sorry because the look on his face, I mean, it wasn't like he was actually like mad.
And so I think for a split second he was, and then he realized it was a very
totally innocent mistake.
I almost said harmless, but it was not harmless.
There was harm.
Harmful, but it was very innocent.
Yes.
But here is, I'm actually going to straddle the fence, as I told you out there. What you did was incomprehensible, okay? I think we all agree there. It was tough.
Yes.
However, if it's that important to Danny not to have spoilers, you got to see the movie.
Totally, yeah.
And if he was planning, like if he had a ticket for this morning or something, I'd feel worse. His current plan is to see it in his house in a few months.
That's not true.
That's quite true.
It's not true.
You're not. You already told me you weren't seeing it in theater.
I literally haven't said that to you at all. I said I'm going to try to see it. It's harder because my kid can't go.
Okay. Well,
I'll probably go at the beach with my brother-in-law.
Okay. He's going to see it at his house in a couple of months.
I'll see it then,
and
too.
Based on that, how sad can we be when he finds something out? It's kind of like a show came out months ago. It's all over the internet. 12% chance he already heard the thing you said anyway. So here we are.
I mean, I hadn't. So the point is, though, that's why I can't really, I'm not sitting here like, it's not like I'm giving him the silent treatment or something. Yeah.
But it was just knowing Danny. That was tough.
I was crestfallen. I'll say that.
Yeah, no, I know. But here's the thing. Like, there are some good things here. You're going to save a few bucks. You don't have to go to the movie anymore.
I still do.
He's got to go to the movie.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I don't know.
You scratched the surface of a pretty large mountain.
Okay.
Is what I'll tell you.
Okay.
Yeah. It is time for our double play on G&D, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
A seismic shift, GP, in the world of travel. When you think of Southwest Airlines, what do you think of? What comes to mind?
I think of being annoyed because I don't know where I'm supposed to sit and everyone just rushing into their lines and then sitting wherever they want to and it's a madhouse.
It's over now. They're not doing it anymore. The thing that made Southwest Southwest for 50 years is, did you check into Southwest? Did you check in? Because you might be group B. You could be group C. You're down in group F. You're a lowly commoner down in group F, and you got all the picked over seats. Just a whole plane of middle row of middle seats. That's what you got to choose
from.
In
the very rare minority, I hated the way they did it.
Well, apparently enough customers did, so they're changing it.
Good.
Southwest Airlines posted their, I mean, obviously 2020, everyone got boned. But for the first time, basically in decades, they posted a losing lost revenue quarter where they actually finished in the red. Million reasons why it happened. There was a big data outage. I don't know if you remember around the holidays a couple years ago.
They also had some snafus where they have taken on some shrapnel publicly.
And it was a tough time, but they've, you know, some of the complaints with the software is outdated, different things that are above my pay grade. I know this. Leadership is basically saying, we're not going to do that anymore. Now, you might be going, well, that's great. Well, here are the things that Southwest does that other airlines don't do. For example, you get 2 carry-on bags for free. Nobody else is doing that, right? That's a thing. That may change. You don't have to pay necessarily more because it's a free-for-all. Well, other airlines are like, oh, you want a seat where you can your feet touch the ground? You want a seat where the seat in front of you isn't in your chin? Well, you got to pay more for that. Maybe that's something that's going to happen now on Southwest. So you had to exchange that seating free-for-all for, you know, maybe a little bit less cost. They're joining like everyone else, though, and probably increasing the cost for more premium services like bringing a bag on the plane or wanting to be able to sit down comfortably.
I don't know who does this and who doesn't as far as which airlines. Charging you for your single bag is happening more and more now.
Yeah, Frontier, Sprint, Spirit,
well,
do that.
Yeah, well, they've always done that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was on one of the big ones recently that doesn't do that. And you know what they did?
They did that?
They charged me for my bag.
Yeah.
You should get one, man. I should get to bring one. That's how it's always been. Why can't I do my thing anymore where I bring my one bag for free? But yeah, so it was $35 or $40, whatever it was. Slide your card, check in. I'm like, I'm not checking this, though. I'm just bringing it on.
No, I remember doing that once. I was like, there must be some mistake. I'm not checking it. They go, no, we know. I'm like, okay, great.
Southwest. A changing of the guard.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like that bit where you because the problem
was, it's a trade-off.
If you were really good at knowing when to log in and sign up and get in for your flight and check in, then you were hooked. But for the rest of us that are busy living online,
a
lot of middle seats in our future.
Indeed. And it was one of those things where you if you're organized about it, it would work out okay. But it also, at one point, was like their entire business model, which is like they average leaving like a minute and a half earlier than every other flight or every other airline. And that gate time saved over thousands and thousands of flights, apparently, like, was what led them to profitability. But now that's kind of over. Now, you know what makes airlines profitable? Charging you to live comfortably. Charging you to breathe, basically, is how they make
per
money.
Per breath.
Yeah.
$1 per breath on the flight.
Do you want a headrest? Things like that.
You want 2 extra inches, we'll give it to you. You just need to give us $42.
$42.
Per hour of the flight.
You're in a seat row, which means there's a seat here. Are you aware of your responsibilities where you have to pay us money?
That's my move now. Exit row, about 15 to
you
20
do the exit row bit?
Every time.
Do you listen to the spiel intently?
Oh, got to.
Yeah.
Just in case. Double play in the rear view. Beltway Blitz is next at 4:25. The NFL making a major change to its games. We'll explain on Grant and Danny. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondori & Murad can guide you and your family in the right direction, help you draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them that G&D sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We've got a couple of screens going watching the Olympics today. Simone Biles was in action. Team USA gymnastics gunning for gold. I'm sure that'll be televised in primetime tonight.
It will. So the result, it's, you know, the sacrifice of having it 6 hours ahead. The results are in, but there'll still be some good television later tonight. So we're not going to spoil it for you just in case.
You should watch it.
Yeah, I would watch it later on.
Team USA?
Yeah.
Simone Biles? Big event. People have been looking forward to it. I also don't know what to do with my hands there because I'm not supposed to say it, but it's already been nationally televised and everyone and their brother has been tweeting about it.
Yeah, everyone's tweeted about it. Everyone's reported on it. The articles are around.
Still personal policy, I guess, for me. Like, I don't want to tell you who shows up in a movie, right?
Right. No one would do that.
Who would just blurt out loud what cameo came in a movie that you weren't expecting?
That was seismic and massive for dorks that care about that sort of thing.
Darius wouldn't do it.
Nope.
I wouldn't do it.
No, I wouldn't
you
do it.
You wouldn't
either.
Do it. Anybody
Is there else anyone else?
In this?
Just looking around.
Someone that often explains things.
I got nothing.
Claire, so you didn't feel terrible. I'll give you that. You felt very bad after accidentally ruining a big reveal for Danny.
So he didn't get it at first, and then you had to take him out of the room and explain it.
I explained him what he had done.
I'm so sorry.
It was like explaining to Scotty Smalls that he just hit Babe Ruth sign ball over the wall. He's like, wait, you mean he's all the same guy? Like, that was what happened. Yep. Like, Baby Ruthie.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you don't understand.
You don't understand.
No, I don't understand. And it's, I genuinely feel bad about that. Like, I apologize to Danny
multiple
times.
Yeah.
I'm still so sorry because the look on his face, I mean, it wasn't like he was actually like mad.
And so I think for a split second he was, and then he realized it was a very
totally innocent mistake.
I almost said harmless, but it was not harmless.
There was harm.
But it was very innocent.
Yes.
But here is, I'm actually going to straddle the fence, as I told you out there. What you did was incomprehensible, okay? I think we all agree there. It was tough.
Yes.
However, if it's that important to Danny not to have spoilers, you got to see the movie.
Totally,
yeah.
And if he was planning, like if he had a ticket for this morning or something, I'd feel worse. His current plan is to see it in his house in a few months.
That's not true.
That's quite true.
But it's not true.
You're not. You already told me you weren't seeing it in theater.
I literally haven't said that to you at all. I said I'm going to try to see it. It's harder because my kid can't go.
Okay. Well,
I'll probably go at the beach with my brother-in-law.
Okay. He's going to see it at his house in a couple of months.
I'll see it then,
and
too.
And based on that, how sad can we be when he finds something out? It's kind of like a show came out months ago. It's all over the internet. 12% chance he already heard the thing you said anyway. So here
I mean, I hadn't. So the point is, though, that's why I can't really, I'm not sitting here like, it's not like I'm giving him the silent treatment or something. Yeah.
But it was just knowing Danny. That was tough.
I was crestfallen. I'll say that.
Yeah, no, I know. But here's the thing. Like, there are some good things here. You're going to save a few bucks. You don't have to go to the movie anymore.
I still do.
Oh, he's got to go to the movie.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I don't know.
You scratched the surface of a pretty large mountain.
Okay.
Is what I'll tell you.
Okay. Yeah.
It is time for our double play on G&D, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
A seismic shift, GP, in the world of travel. When you think of Southwest Airlines, what do you think of? What comes to mind?
I think of being annoyed because I don't know where I'm supposed to sit and everyone just rushing into their lines and then sitting wherever they want to, and it's a madhouse.
It's over now. They're not doing it anymore. The thing that made Southwest Southwest for 50 years is, oh, did you check into Southwest? Did you check in? Because you might be Group B. You could be Group C. You're down in Group F. You're a lowly commoner down in Group F, and you got all the picked over seats. Just a whole plane of middle row of middle seats. That's what you got to choose
in
from.
In the very rare minority, I hated the way they did it.
Well, apparently enough customers did, so they're changing it.
Good.
Southwest Airlines posted their, I mean, obviously 2020, everyone got boned. But for the first time, basically in decades, they posted a losing lost revenue quarter where they actually finished in the red. Million reasons why that happened. There was a big data outage. I don't know if you remember around the holidays a couple years ago.
They also had some snafus where they have taken on some shrapnel publicly.
And it was a tough time, but they've, you know, some of the complaints with the software is outdated, different things that are above my pay grade. I know this. Leadership is basically saying, we're not going to do that anymore. Now, you might be going, well, that's great. Well, here are the things that Southwest does that other airlines don't do. For example, you get 2 carry-on bags for free. Nobody else is doing that, right? That's a thing. That may change. You don't have to pay necessarily more because it's a free-for-all. Well, other airlines are like, oh, you want a seat where you can your feet touch the ground? You want a seat where the seat in front of you isn't in your chin? Well, you got to pay more for that. Maybe that's something that's going to happen now on Southwest. So you had to exchange that seating free-for-all for, you know, maybe a little bit less cost. They're joining like everyone else, though. And probably increasing the cost for more premium services like bringing a bag on the plane or wanting to be able to sit down comfortably.
I don't know who does this and who doesn't as far as which airlines. Charging you for your single bag is happening more and more now.
Yeah, Frontier, Spirit, well, do that.
Yeah, well, they've always done that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was on one of the big ones recently that doesn't do that. And you know what they did?
They did that?
They charged me for my bag.
Yeah.
You should get one, man. I should get to bring one. That's how it's always been. Why can't I do my thing anymore where I bring my one bag for free? But yeah, so it was $35 or $40, whatever it was. Slide your card, check in. I'm like, I'm not checking this, though. I'm just bringing it on.
No, I remember doing that once. I was like, there must be some mistake. I'm not checking it. They go, no, we know. I'm like, okay, great.
Southwest. A changing of the guard.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like that bit where you because the problem
was, it's a trade-off.
If you were really good at knowing when to log in and sign up and get in for your flight and check in, then you were hooked. But for the rest of us that are busy living online, a lot of middle seats in our future.
Indeed. And it was one of those things where you if you're organized about it, it would work out okay. But it also, at one point, was like their entire business model, which is like they average leaving like a minute and a half earlier than every other flight or every other airline. And that gate time saved over thousands and thousands of flights, apparently, like, was what led them to profitability. But now that's kind of over. Now, you know what makes airlines profitable? Charging you to live comfortably. Charging you to breathe, basically, is how they make
money.
Per
breath.
Yeah.
$1 per breath on the flight.
Do you want a headrest? Things like that.
You want 2 extra inches, we'll give it to you. You just need to give us $42.
$42.
Per hour of the flight.
You're in a seat row, which means there's a seat here. Are you aware of your responsibilities where you have to pay us money?
That's my move now. Exit row, about 15 to
you
20
do the exit row bit
every time.
Do you listen to the spiel intently?
Oh, got to.
Yeah.
Just in case. Double play in the rear view. Beltway Blitz is next at 4:25. The NFL making a major change to its games. We'll explain on Grant and Danny.